Welcome to What's for Dinner, a radio show about food, cooking, and eating, and sharing favorite recipes from Petersburg, Alaska, and around the world. Brought to you by KFSK Community Supported Radio in Petersburg, Alaska. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. Coming up on What's for Dinner today, Sunday dinner. Also, making smoothies with Petersburg's Sprouts, Ed Bajarski and Christina Sargent, and more tips for school lunches, the drink of the week, and my sweet tooth. All this is coming up. Support for What's for Dinner comes from Hammer & Wecon Grocery Store, offering an expanded organic produce selection, deli, bakery, and meat department with delivery and van service available. Hammer & Wecon Grocery Store, a Petersburg family-owned business since 1921. Welcome to What's for Dinner. I'm Mindy Anderson, your host. I'm not a chef. I just love to cook. And sometimes I cook real flops. Thanks for joining us today. This week, let's see. I made, a chicken and rice and chard soup. That was really good. Everyone liked it. With leftovers. Also made a goat milk honey yogurt. Super great. Love that. I'm going to make more tonight. Also, some Asian veggie pancakes with cabbage, onions, potatoes, carrots, and zucchini. Lots more vegetables, and also a tangy sauce. And you know what? I'm going to be giving you the recipe for that on Saturday, because Saturday, What's for Dinner is going to be at the market. We have a booth at the market on Saturday, starting at around 10:30. We'll get the market going, and then move on over to a cooking demonstration and how to make Asian veggie pancakes with all sorts of veggies. Really, really good. Great for your kids' lunches. Good to eat cold. And you can have samples and get a recipe there. I also, as I promised, I made beef bourguignon this week, and in honor of Julia Child's 100th birthday. And that turned out great. Had that last night for dinner. And I gave you the recipe for that last week. But this week, just a leftover chicken and rice and charred soup, which I loved. It started off with Rodney's night to cook. And so he cooked a chicken. And like we always do in our house, you know, we take out the backbone and we will generally cut up a chicken or take out the backbone and butterfly it open and then quickly make stock. So we had some stock with, you know, on the stove cooking. Rodney cooked the chicken, and he'll brown the chicken, and then he'll cook it, add a lot of spice to it, and then before he adds the rice, he'll usually pour off all the drippings from the chicken. And this is an organic chicken, super good, you know. So he'll pour off all the drippings from that, and then save it, stick it in the fridge, and then we'll use it for whatever later on, soup or whatever. I love cooking that way. But so he had made that, and then he adds the rice in underneath the chicken later with some water or maybe some more broth, and sticks it back in the oven, and then the rice isn't full of fat. So anyway, needed to make a quick meal the other night, so threw together a quick chicken and rice and chard soup. Had some chard, And very easy to do. You just get out your, you know, heavy bottom soup pot and olive oil, avocado oil, whatever kind of oil you want to use, and throw in some onion. I also had some fresh chanterelles. But first I started off with the onion and browned that, not brown the onion, but just lightly browned it and let it get translucent. Add some salt and pepper to that right away. A couple bay leaves because they're dry. If you're going to use a fresh bay leaf, then you really only need one. But when you're using dry, add a couple of them. Why not? Threw that in there. Also diced up some celery and yeah, great smell. A couple of cloves of garlic. And you don't really even need to chop them up. You could just smash them and throw them in there, and it's fine. And then throw the rice in, leftover rice. And got that nice and coated, added a little more salt and pepper. And then what is usually left when we have chicken is the chicken breast, because we all like to eat the dark meat first. Evelyn, she likes wings and legs. Roddy and I, we like the thighs. And sometimes I'll go after some of the chicken breast later. But that's usually what's left over, which is great because it's perfect for leftover and chicken salad and that sort of thing. So add the chicken in. And I also added in finely chopped chard and mixed all that around. A little bit of water to that, and then added some of the drippings and more water. Seasoned it nicely, and it made a great, quick soup. I mean, it takes just a few minutes, really, especially when all of your ingredients are already cooked, but the chard. Toasted up some bread. I had some bread. Garlic bread, roasted garlic bread. Toasted that up, and it was great. Have a little salad along the side, and you have a perfect meal there. Also, I made some goat milk honey yogurt. So good. I had, we had a couple extra quarts of goat milk in the fridge that we get from over in Point Agassiz. And one of them, you know, as they get a little bit older, they get a little bit stronger. The milk gets a little bit stronger. So I decided to make some yogurt and look around for the yogurt maker, and it's nowhere. It always gets put somewhere, and I don't know where. And it's hard to believe in my little house that I can't find some things, but that's because it might get put up in the pantry up above, so you have to climb like the ladder, the library ladder, and look around, or it gets taken out to the shop, or it gets, you know, it's, I just need a little bit more space, but probably I would fill it, right? So I couldn't find that, so I decided to use the my crock pot. So I have a nice big crock pot. So I got the crock pot out instead to make the yogurt. And I just started off with a quart of goat milk. And you could just use whole milk. And you get that boiling up to, or you get that up to about 180 degrees. And stir it around. Once it hits 180, then take it off the heat and let it cool down to about 115, 112. So you want to use your thermometer. And once it hits about 115, then I added, because I didn't have any homemade yogurt in the fridge, I added some Greek yogurt that I bought at the store, just for that, a small container of it. And after I had a couple bites of it out of the container, so it wasn't quite one container, then I mixed some yogurt starter with that. I took a little bit of the warm milk off the stove and into the yogurt container and mixed it all up together. And I also added some yogurt starter, one package of yogurt starter. And you can do it without the yogurt starter if you're using yogurt, but I wanted my yogurt to be nice and thick. And I don't know if you can get yogurt starter here, but you can order it on Amazon. It gets here pretty quick. So one package of yogurt starter and one container of yogurt minus a couple big bites. And like I said, you don't need to have the starter. Mix all that up and then add it back to your yogurt or your milk that's cooling and to about 115, 112. And then if it's dropped below that, just put it back on the heat and heat it back up to 112 to 115. And then I put mine into a glass container with a plastic lid, like a Pyrex container. One that I bought that fits nicely in my yogurt maker without all the little individual cups. So, and then I turned my, and I had done this first, I turned my my crock pot on low and let it preheat, and then turned it off. Kept the lid on it. So then I put my glass container of yogurt inside the crock pot, put the lid back on it, and wrapped a towel around it and let it sit overnight. There was one point before I went to bed that I felt like, oh, is it going to be enough heat? So I just turned on the yogurt or on the crock pot again on low just for a short time to heat it up again and then turned it off. So it was just on for just a few minutes. And then in the morning, it was a nice, thick, yummy yogurt. If you want to add sweetness to it, you can add sweetness. You can add some berries and things like that to the bottom of your yogurt as you're pouring it into your glass container. You can have some berries at the bottom. You can just add it afterward when you take it out the next morning. You can add some berries or honey. But I added mine when the yogurt was still warm before I put it in the crock pot. I added honey to taste. And it was a great honey yogurt, let me tell you. Super delicious. So tonight I'm going to make more because we're out. So made the soup, had the yogurt. I made these Asian veggie pancakes with a bunch of veggies. I was coming up with a recipe to show y'all on Saturday at the What's for Dinner booth for the market. And I thought it turned out great. This is a pancake using cabbage, onions, potatoes, carrots, zucchini, all sorts of vegetables, really good vegetables that you can find. And many of these vegetables, of course, you'll be able to find at the market. And so easy. You just mix the vegetables with some flour, and also you're going to need some eggs. So if you're thinking ahead of time that you might want to do some shopping, come pick this recipe up on Saturday and check it out. You're going to need eggs if you're going to make that recipe for Saturday night. Anyway, it was delicious, and you do fry them because they're pancakes. But I made these pancakes, and they're not traditional. They're not like... they're not cakey pancakes. They're all veggie. They really, really are. And they're so good cold or room temp the next day. I mean, you walk by, you're hungry, you pick one up, you eat it, you know you're eating really, really well. So the only thing I have to perfect yet is coming up with the perfect sauce for these pancakes for you. So you have a good sauce to go with them. So that's coming up. I'm excited to share that recipe. You'll want to pick that up on Saturday at the market, starting at around 10:30, maybe 10:45. Give me a chance to get going. And then I made beef bourguignon last night. It was so good. Oh my gosh. It was good. I had other things to do throughout the day. Rodney, keep adding a little bit of wine to this beef bourguignon because I like to put in a little bit at a time. So, you know, it had a whole bottle of red wine in it. It was so good. And my plan was to serve it with some garlic mashed potatoes, you know, and just put the beef bourguignon over the top of them. But instead, I ended up, I had some really good red potatoes. I ended up just microwaving four potatoes because we were in the ER last night with a cut finger and needed stitches. Not me. And anyway, so there went the whole idea of the garlic mashed potatoes. I needed to just get home and get these potatoes in the microwave just so we could have something good to go with the beef bourguignon. But it was super delicious. And now I have leftover beef bourguignon. Maybe I'll make some spatzle tonight, or I don't know what I'm going to do with it tonight. I have leftover. I could also be making like a beef soup with it too. The bourguignon is like a stew. I could like make a beef stew with some. I did pick up some tomatoes and some white beans at the grocery store. I could make a really good beef and bean soup with tomatoes. Or we could just eat it like it is. We will see. See how things turn out tonight at my house. And that's it. Coming up next, I have a treat for you. Feeding kids healthy foods for lunch and breakfast. School's coming up, and don't fret. You really don't need to spend so much time making your kids lunch. We can make it easy and quick. And but the Sprouts smoothie contest with Ed Byarski and garden coordinator at the school garden, Christina Sargent. Also, the Eagles Nest kids were the judges. They're going to show us how we can make smoothies from things from the garden and right out of our refrigerators. That's coming up next on What's for Dinner. Support for What's for Dinner comes from Inga's Galley, serving locally grown food and fresh-caught seafood in Petersburg, including sandwiches, curries, kebabs, and salads, fresh king salmon and shrimp on the menu, as well as a spicy pork sandwich on a ciabatta roll. Inga's Galley, with heated outdoor seating downtown. Beer and wine available, 772-2090. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm Mindy Anderson, your host. Smoothies are a great idea to teach your kids how to eat healthy in the mornings, especially in the mornings when you're running short on time. And all you need to do is provide them with fruits and veggies and the milk of your choice and maybe some ice. Show them how to use the blender and let them go for it. And they will come up with their own concoctions that they like. And it's healthy to show your kids how to cook and let them experiment. Up next, Sprouts, Ed Byarski, and Christina Sargent show us how easy it really is to make a smoothie.
Evelyn, what kind of smoothie are you making today?
You can take that or you can take the blender.
A berry and a fruit smoothie.
Anything green going in your smoothie?
Mint.
Yeah, everyone has to have at least one green item and at least one item from the garden. And we said one fruit, one vegetable, and one garden item. That's the contest rules.
I'm going to take.
And what is your name?
Iris.
Iris, what are you putting in your smoothie?
I'm putting in rhubarb, nectarines, blueberries, and some other good fruits and some mint.
That sounds good. Do you think it's going to be a winner with the Eagles Nest kids?
Maybe.
I'm Kara.
And what are you making for a smoothie?
I'm putting strawberry, raspberry, some blueberry, clover honey, yogurt, basically stuff that I like in my smoothie.
My name's Grace, and I'm putting peeled apple and probably some berries. It's anything that is sweet, and you'll probably have to either add ice or you'll have to add something frozen in it.
Are you going to put something green in your smoothie too?
A pea pod or something?
Just to play around with making the kids drink something green, I'm going to make an all-green smoothie to see how they like that compared to the all-fruit smoothie, cucumber, mint, and apple.
So I'll use some of the nice chickweed that we harvested out at the flower farm. This is chickweed.
Yeah.
Chop that up. It's very mild. I use this in salad, so go ahead and take a leaf and just taste it. It really doesn't taste like much except a little bit of green, really. Almost like a really plain lettuce without much flavor. And so I got blackberries and chickweed, maybe a couple chunks of cucumber, and I like the idea of using some peas from the garden. Oh, I think we need some blueberries. Picked the blueberries yesterday out the road, so better use some of those too. And what's your favorite smoothie, Mindy?
Let's see. You know, I like banana, of course, and strawberry. Really, any fruit. And, you know, I do like spinach in a smoothie. I'm kind of a juice person.
Uh-huh.
I like carrot juice.
Oh, okay.
It's carrot with spinach and apple. But apples are good in smoothies, too.
Right. Well, we picked some apples out here at the school, the yellow transparent apples. So they're on the tart side, which is okay. We don't want to put apple seeds in the smoothie. I mean, the raspberries, the blackberries, the blueberries, those don't matter. But apple seeds are not good.
We had a kid here say that. It sounded
really good. Welcome to the lovely rainy day in the garden.
All right.
Our chefs are busy and they're finishing up the last of their smoothie creations. So, are you guys ready for some good smoothies?
Yeah.
So, they're all going to tell you what they made in the smoothies, but pretty much the rule that they had to do was pick something out of the garden to put in here. They had to put something green in it and some kind of berry in it. So while they're finishing up, we can take a quick tour around the garden. I'll show you some of the things that they are putting in your smoothies today. So we'll start over here in the mint patch. So right here we have mint growing. There's two different kinds of mint. The darker purple one is a chocolate mint. If you guys want to taste it, you can take it out and pull a leaf off and taste the mint if you guys like.
How's it taste, guys?
Yeah.
That's a good point. A lot of bubblegum is actually made from mint. Spearmint and peppermint are really common bubblegum flavors. Yeah, sometimes it's a little strong by itself, and it's better when it's in things.
Yep, definitely.
By itself, it's way too minty.
Yeah. It's a good after dinner. If you had something like a lot of garlic for dinner and you had a stinky breath, you can chew on a mint leaf, and it'll make your breath smell good. I think at least one of the smoothies today is going to have peas in it. So these are all snap peas growing here, and
can we eat one?
You can. So if you guys want to all gather around, you can each try a pea. What I want you to do to pick them so that you don't pull the vines off is to put your fingers here on the top of the pea and then take your other hand and pull the pea off. So holding it like that so you don't pull the whole vine down. So you guys can each, some of them are pretty high. If you want some help, I can pick a few for you. A lot of the lower ones have already been harvested.
Got one.
You got one. Did everybody find one? You can eat the whole thing, the outside and all.
I don't like the outside.
You don't like the outside, you just like the inside? Okay. Do you want to throw the outside scraps in that blue bucket down there?
They're good enough.
They eat little holes into the sides of the peas like that.
That was the biggest one.
I know, and it got left low down to the ground, so the slugs got it. That's one of our worst pests in the garden is all the slugs. We try to keep them out and get rid of them, but they're everywhere here.
Oh, if you put pennies around them, it'll shock them.
The other berries we have out here that might be in your smoothies is the currant. The currant bush is behind you here, and there are still a few berries on it if you want to try some of the currant berries. So this is a very sour.
These look like strawberries. These look like cherries.
A little bit, like little mini cherries.
There's huge ones on the woods, I think.
So if you guys want to pick some of these are a really tart berry. So if you like sour things, you might like them. No, these are edible. They're very, so everybody can try. So a lot of people put them in jams and jellies and add some extra sugar so you get the flavor, but it helps decrease the sourness. But by themselves, they're pretty sour, aren't they?
Yep. Pretty sour.
Yeah, look at that sour face, huh?
Really sour.
And we've got raspberries back over here as well. There's going to be a bunch of those in the smoothie you guys will be trying. Just about everybody put raspberries in theirs. But if you guys all look down by your feet, what do you see?
Rocks.
Yeah, so do you know that you can eat most of the weeds you're stepping on right here? Ed is making a smoothie that's made out of a lot of different kinds of weeds. So this is dandelion, and dandelion a lot of people put in salads.
Can I put this in my mouth?
You can try it. So these are runner beans. Here at the school we call them magic beanstalk, Jack and the Beanstalks, because they grow all the way up this pole, and as they keep going in the fall, they'll actually keep growing all the way off the top. They are edible, so when they're small, like here's some pretty good sized ones. But when they're small like this, you can eat them just like a green bean. We're not going to eat any of them right now because this particular bean is better to have cooked. When it's raw, it's a little bit bitter and it has some toxins that can upset people's stomach. And if you cook it, it gets rid of that. So it's really a bean that you have to cook before you eat.
All right, Chef, how's it coming together?
We've got two done over there, and then they added some more stuff to improve the flavors. And so... gonna start pouring it out into some cups.
Mm. Yeah, I like the resembling. I think it tastes good.
Nice and purple.
It is. Looks good. Oh, we got another one waiting to... Okay, so here, let's set this one over here. Let's see, we got another one ready. Okay.
Yeah.
So what you can do, if you push pulse, it's just on while you hold the button down and you just let go. So just press pulse. And let go. And kind of look at it. Sometime what we'll do, shake it a little bit and then do it again. In there.
So then you can
take maybe the apples in.
And just put like one little spoonful in.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to have these guys tell you what they put in their smoothies, and then we're going to pass them around, and you guys can all sample the different ones. And when you taste them, look on the sides of the cup. There are numbers written on the cup. So, like, that's number 3. And remember which number cup that you like the best, because you guys are going to vote on your favorite one, okay?
I don't believe so.
Okay, we're good. We do have a coconut milk version one if there is someone who can't have regular dairy or a rice milk. But just wanted to check. Ed made us one, too. You want to tell us about yours?
So mine has blackberries, blueberries, a little bit of honey, yogurt and rice milk, and my green stuff, I got chickweed yesterday out at the flower farm, and some peas are in there for my green stuff. Oh, and there's some apple too from the front of the school.
Yeah, so if you guys notice that there's apple trees that are along the front of the school that have apples on it, so that's, we went over and picked a few of those this morning for the smoothies that you guys are going to try.
And the kind of apple out in front is a yellow transparent apple, which is ready. They're tart right now, perfect for pies. We wait another week, then they'll be falling off, and then they'll make good applesauce. And it's an old Russian variety. The variety itself is more than 100 years old.
Those trees were planted 3 years ago on Earth Day. Mr. Kowalski's class planted them.
Okay, so let's take tray number 1. That's number 1. So, if you guys, I'll bring them around, and each of you can take a cup and try number 1.
Let's see, this young fellow over here should have some, don't you think?
Oh,
you can pick. We got a couple more. Everybody, they've
gone
all the way around.
Okay, I'll try one too. That's fine.
Go ahead. Here's a number 2.
I'm bringing them over.
I'm squeezing. Let them drink those and think about them. I'm going to take a picture too.
These
all 3?
Yep.
All right.
So,
this is number 3.
It's good.
This is the mid one.
This is definitely mint.
This
mint.
Bitter.
Mint.
Really bitter.
Mint.
But
There's a lot of mint.
What do you still like?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely some mint.
You like some mint?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, number four.
That's gonna go for
number five.
Very fragrant. Number five. Number six is being made as we speak. There you go.
Number
six.
I like number three, number four, and number one.
I like number
one. There you go. Yeah, a lot of tasting. I should have put some garlic in there.
I like five. It's good.
A little different, Liza?
I don't really like it.
What number? Number five.
Ooh, a green apple.
It's a green one. It's a green
one. Okay,
I can
go. These are all mine.
Minty.
Yeah.
Okay,
can
I smell?
What do you think, Scotty?
They're all pretty good, aren't they?
Those again.
Yeah.
I'm putting them in
four.
This one's
four.
One, two, three, four.
This is number six, except it doesn't have a number on it. So, and it's really different.
I want to try some.
It's really green. Really green. It's so terribly good for you, can't hardly stand it.
Can I try it?
Oh, yeah, it'll come around.
I just wanted an example of a smoothie that doesn't have any berries or it has apples in it for its fruit and cucumbers and mint, and it's sweetened with honey. So it's just fun green color.
Anybody else want to try some green stuff?
This is like bubble gum.
It's delicious.
It is creative.
Wait, which one do you like? I like number one.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to have you start at this end, and we're going to vote in secret. So I want you guys to come up, bring your trash and empty cups over to me, and then whisper to Ed which your favorite number is. So we'll...
Okay. You like the number one? Okay.
What? Number one.
You also? Okay.
Number one.
Okay. Who else? Which one you like?
Number one.
Really? Oh, okay.
I like number two.
Number two. Okay.
One.
Okay. You like number three. Okay. It looks like almost a landslide. Evelyn got nine.
What? All right, Evelyn. You won by the landslide.
Evelyn.
So your prize is a pack of silly straws so you can enjoy your smoothies in style from here on out.
All right.
Everybody give a round of applause.
All right.
Because it was delicious.
How many people make smoothies at home? Okay. How many people are going to make smoothies at home? Going to make some. All right.
I'm going to make some ideas to make some smoothies.
Well, what can I say? That's my kid. I know it wasn't rigged. But look how easy it is for kids to make smoothies. They absolutely love it. Thanks to Ed Bajarski and Christina Sargent and the Sprouts for the smoothie contest. And thanks to Eagle's Nest for judging the contest. So smoothies are great for the morning for kids. And remember, let them experiment as you're teaching them how to make a smoothie and use the blender. But, you know, as far as healthy lunches for school, when kids are taking their lunch to school, of course, one of Evelyn's favorite things to take for lunch is leftovers. So don't forget about that. You don't need to stress about lunch when you have leftovers from the night before. And schools always have a microwave for heating up foods if you need to. So I love it when Evelyn says, oh, I'm just going to take this in my lunch tomorrow. Easy. Also, a little bit of prep on Sunday night will go a long way. Cubing cheese and meats. If you didn't get around to it Sunday, try to do a little bit of prep work Monday night. But you can, you know, cut your cheeses and different meats into cubes. You could throw some toothpicks in there for the kids, and they like doing that, you know, picking up cubes with toothpicks. But you can fill snack bags with the crackers and cheeses and other things ahead of time. So you can just pull them out of the cupboard or pull them out of the fridge and throw them into their lunch sacks or lunch bags pretty quickly. And you're not getting everything out to do that last minute in the morning. Also, don't forget to use ice packs if you need to. You know, you can make your own ice packs pretty easily, and these can be used for, you know, using on sprains and strains and things like that at your house, as well as throwing, you know, in your kids' lunches. But you just mix some water and rubbing alcohol together. If you want a little coloring, blue coloring, to make it a blue color, you can do that. But if you pour that into a couple Ziploc bags, you know, pour it into one Ziploc bag and close it, and then pour it into the other Ziploc bag, and then you can take that and you can vacuum pack that bag so that it's vacuum packed and sealed, then you've got that nice pack that you've made and you didn't really spend a lot of money on it. You could make those, so you can make them smaller, like with the snack size bags. Anyway, one and a half cup of water and a half a cup of rubbing alcohol, and then the water won't completely freeze. And it'll have that kind of, that sort of slushiness to it. So there you go. That you can make your own or you can buy little ones. But don't forget to use those if you need to. And then, another thing for the morning, if you're making a bunch of pancakes, you can always freeze them and the kids can just heat them up in the microwave or throw them in the toaster to heat them up or something like that. I've done that, that with waffles and pancakes before, and they work great. One thing that I always do, and I know you don't believe it, but I do, I put little notes in Evelyn's lunches, and you can, you know, write up a bunch of little notes ahead of time on little cards, or you can even buy them, you know, if you want to, but, Evelyn loves showing her friends her little notes from her lunch, and, so think about that. If you have a little extra time in the evening after the kids have gone to bed, you can get some cards out and just write some little notes. Have a bunch of them ready to go, and you can throw them in the bag and surprise your kids during lunchtime. But back to the food. Carrots, celery, broccoli, make sure you know, a little bit of dip can go a long way. And I know a lot of people say, oh, no to the dip. But why not? You know, as long as they're eating their veggies. And you can make so many homemade dips using lots of veggies with lemon and vegetables and a little bit of yogurt. That makes a great dip, and then they'll eat vegetables with it. Sliced red and yellow and orange bell peppers, kids love those because they're sweet, and with some ranch or hummus with, you know, garbanzo beans, that's a great snack and very, very simple and easy to make and inexpensive. You can also make salads ahead of time in little jars. And the kids can help you with this. Just put a little salad dressing at the bottom. Pack in some salad over the top of it. Let the kids put whatever they want in it. Put the lid on it and stack several of them in the refrigerator. And then all you have to do in the morning is grab some of those. So we're going to do that this weekend at my house. Then you're just going to grab one. And then there they have a little salad they can just mix up. Or, you know, you can send them along with a little paper plate. And they can just dump it all onto their paper plate. Also, kids love grape tomatoes, so that's an idea. Also, little simple fruit salads mixed with some vanilla yogurt. Always have dried fruit on hand, raisins, and of course, fruit smoothies. But one thing so many of us have that are great for kids for a healthy snack, and you can make cream cheese smoked salmon sandwiches on bagels, multigrain bagels. Don't forget about that when you're thinking about the kids' lunches this weekend to get some smoked salmon out of the freezer. Also, you could make ahead of time some savory muffins with cheese, bacon, ham, other things, broccoli, and other good stuff in them. So they're muffins, but they're savory muffins. Maybe they're corn muffins with cheese in them and ham or whatever. Also, the veggie pancakes that I'm going to show you how to make on Saturday. Great to throw in a kid's lunch. They can microwave them or they can just eat them room temp. Works great. And give them a little bit of sauce. And those work great. Remember, Saturday after about 10:30, 10:45, we'll be making those. You could toast up some pita bread with some butter. Put them in the oven, toast them up so that they're crunchy chips. And, you know, kids like those spicy, crunchy, cheesy stuff. You can get a little bit of cheese powder, and you have a nice pita chip snack. We love to make Hot Pockets at our house. You could buy Rhodes ready-made rolls, dough, the dough, and you can make them out of that. Or you, if you make your own bread dough, you use that. And you just roll out some dough and, fill one side with ham and cheese or other meats or slightly cooked veggies or maybe cheese and some cooked broccoli and fold it over and crimp the edges and bake them. And then you've you've got those to throw in the freezer or in the refrigerator through the week, but we'll make so many at a time that we'll put them in the freezer individually wrapped, and all we have to do is take them out. And they're already baked, so by the time lunch is happening at school, they're thawed and ready to go. We love making those at my house. We'll be making those on Sunday, since school is starting. Other ideas, of course, using your leftovers to make other things like chicken salad, and kids like wraps. They're pretty easy to make. And little easy additions, yogurt sticks, cheese sticks, whole grain crackers. Veggie chips are available now that are pretty decent. Nuts, seeds, trail mix. Just be careful when, you know, your friends are allergic to nuts and that sort of thing. Homemade granola bars are great. You can buy great granola bars, too. They're so much cheaper when you make them. They're not hard to make. Check it out on the internet. Maybe next week I'll bring you a good granola bar recipe. So there you have it. So just some ideas, you know, to think about when you're shopping for school lunch, and don't stress out about it. You don't need to do the whole half-hour bento box idea. Kids, as long as it's healthy and good, you don't need to stress out about the whole amazing kids' lunch, because really, like I said, half the time they'll just eat the leftovers, right? Coming up next on KFSK's What's for Dinner, we have the drink of the week. That's coming up. Support for What's for Dinner comes from Keto's Cave and Liquor Store on Zingli Alley, open 7 days a week with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums to cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for mixing in a new favorite drink. Keto's Cave and Liquor Store. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm Mindy Anderson. It's time for the drink of the week, and I'm excited about the drink of the week this week because I have all the ingredients. And you don't need to make anything to make the drink of the week. All the ingredients, you just put them in, and you don't even need to make a simple sugar for this one. So this is a lemon lavender gin Ricky, and it comes from Food 52, submitted by Samantha Hills. Anyway, I'm excited about this. Like I said, I have all this at home. 3 ounces of gin, and remember we talked about that great gin, which now is hard to keep in stock in town. 50 Fathoms gin from Hanes, if you're lucky enough to get your hand on a bottle around here. So 3 ounces of gin, and 4 ounces of freshly squeezed lemon juice, 2 tablespoons of honey, 4 ounces of seltzer water, 2 sprigs of lavender, and 2 wedges of lemon. If you don't have any lavender, I have some. You can contact me and get a sprig from me and cut it in half or whatever. But I do happen to have a little bit. And first thing, pour the gin, the lemon juice, and the honey over ice in a cocktail shaker and shake well. Strain into 2 glasses filled with ice. Top with seltzer. Garnish each glass with a sprig of lavender and a slice of lemon. Super easy, and delicious. And if you don't want to use the gin, you can maybe use some ginger ale and make a ginger ale drink with this, with the lemon, the honey, the seltzer water, the lavender, and it will be delicious. So pour the gin, the lemon juice, and honey over ice in a cocktail shaker and shake well. Strain the two glasses filled with ice, top with seltzer. Garnish each glass with a sprig of the lavender and a slice of lemon. That's a lemon lavender gin Ricky. And then today's sweet tooth. Excited about this recipe because it's been a long time since, you know, I don't really eat a lot of ice cream in the evenings or, you know, anything like that. I know that if it's in my house, Evelyn and Rodney will eat all the ice cream. And I've thought about it lately, like, oh, I would really love to have a bowl of ice cream, but I pass. However, searching through different recipes, I found this recipe for fudgesicles. And do you remember having fudgesicles when you were a kid? I remember that they were super inexpensive, and my mom, and they were like the cheapest fudgesicles ever. Like, it seemed like they were more like fudge icicles, but these are homemade fudgesicles. You might want to give it a try, just as a special treat. There's just a few ingredients. Don't even look at the fudgesicle recipe or the fudgesicle ingredient on some of the boxes of fudgesicles you can get in the store, but they are getting better. This makes 10 3-ounce fudgesicles. And, of course, you should have, like, a popsicle mold. If you don't have a popsicle mold, you could use a paper cup, some paper cups. And then as this sets, then you would put a some sort of stick. Even a spoon would work, a plastic spoon in as the holder. You know what I mean. So 3/4 cup of sugar, 3/4 cups of unsweetened natural or Dutch processed cocoa powder, 1.5 tablespoon of cornstarch, 1/8 of a teaspoon of salt, 3 cups of milk, any fat percentage will do. coconut milk would be great here. 1/2 a teaspoon of pure vanilla extract. You have your ice pop mold with 10 individual cavities, or you have 10 individual molds, or you're using paper cups. It's fine. So you need to have a heat-proof pitcher or a glass measuring pitcher, silicone spatula. You combine the sugar, the cocoa, the cornstarch, and salt in a heavy medium saucepan. Whisk in just enough of the milk to make a smooth paste. So make the paste first. You know, sometimes when you pour in the milk, it just turns, you get these clumps of dry cocoa. So you're just starting off with a little bit and whisking and make the paste first. That's the great way to do it. Then you can whisk in the rest of the milk. Bring the mixture to a simmer over medium heat, stirring with a whisk, constantly scraping the bottom, sides, and corners of the pot until the mixture begins to bubble a little bit at the edges, and then continue whisking and cooking for a couple of more minutes. Take it off the heat, whisk in the vanilla, scrape the mixture into a pitcher or in a bowl to cool a little. Fill your pop molds, leaving at least 1/4 inch at the top to allow for expansion. If your mold has cover with openings for sticks, cover and insert the sticks. Otherwise, freeze until the mixture is thick enough to hold a stick upright or a little spoon or whatever, and then insert the sticks. Freeze until hard, about 4 hours if the mixture was cool, or 6 hours if you put the mixture in hot. It's just better to let it cool. You could even fill your sink with some ice and let it sit there and cool it down quickly a little bit, and then stick it in. Then line a tray with wax paper, fill a container with warm water enough to dip the molds. Dip the mold long enough to release the fudgesicle. Remove And set the fudgesicle on the wax paper. Wrap each piece of wax paper, wrap each one in a piece of wax paper, or put them in a resealable plastic freezer bag and return them to the freezer until serving, so they won't get freezer burnt. And there you have it. Quick and easy homemade fudgesicles. Doesn't that sound like a great snack for the kids? A little milk. You could use coconut milk, a little chocolate. And I suppose you could just flavor it up with whatever, too, if you would rather use some almond. You could get creative with that. Thanks for joining me today on What's for Dinner. Don't forget to stop by and say hi at the KFSK What's for Dinner booth at the market this weekend, starting at about 10:30, 10:45. You can pick up a recipe for my Asian veggie pancakes and try one as well. Don't forget to make smoothies, as the Sprouts showed you. It's easy, and you can use peas and beans and mint and chickweed. Have a great day. Happy eating and happy cooking.